Blog Talk Radio.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, oh yeah. I It's Empowerment Network, Empowerment Saturday, 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's your main man, Marvin Rowan. Coming to you live again on Empowerment Saturday. It's the first Saturday of the year of personal empowerment, 365 days. Come on with me, y'all. This is for us now. Oh, yeah. There is no better love starting the year all right. Welcome to Empowerment Saturday. There's no better love than for self and kind. It's the New Year's Day edition of Empowerment Saturday. It's African American empowerment. It's 365 days of personal empowerment and improvement for us as we continue to work on ourselves, as we continue to strive and survive, as we continue to reclaim and rebuild our natural African minds. That's the topic today. We're going to reclaim, we're going to discuss and talk about reclaiming our natural African minds. How do we do that? Some of us are really afraid of the term African, right? But we have to look at our ancestry, right? Because many of us who come from the descendants of American slavery have to understand that we have African descent, African ancestry, and we claim that. We do, right? We claim the American experience as well, but we want to ensure that the work is being done to improve ourselves. Listen, we're making a commitment to African-American empowerment around the country, first of all, right? It's African-American, right? And so we're going to do the work of improving ourselves. How do we do that? We have a mission, and the National African-American Empowerment Association mission is to ensure that the needs of the African-American communities are met wherever we are, right, through the development of programs and services that support, inspire, motivate, and empower each one of us, each member, you, me, brothers and sisters, that will collaborate and partner together with existing community-based organizations, right, even HBCUs. We need them to promote the concept of peace. You're probably saying to yourself, Marvin, what is peace? Well, peace, there's this program and this concept that I think and I know that will take us to a place that we've never been before in this country. We've been close before, if you understand the movement of Marcus Garvey, the movement of Elijah Muhammad and the Nation of Islam. But this is a more of a individual-centered concept that uses all of us to work together in five areas. Here are the areas. Pay close attention. P is politics. And remember now, this is a peace. We need peace in our communities and peace within ourselves. We need a political agenda. African Americans do, wherever we are. If you're in Montana, you need an agenda. Yes, you do. If you're in Idaho, North Dakota, South Dakota, wherever you are as an African American, Hawaii, Puerto Rico, wherever you are, we need a political agenda that serves us. Wherever we are, we have to understand American politics and make that political agenda work for us. Next, we need an economic platform, an economic agenda that serves us to make sure that we understand how to use the American system of capitalism, right? Not to abuse it, but understand how to effectively utilize it to create wealth for ourselves, right? Generational wealth to secure the future for our children. And while we currently exist, that we can have financial means to do whatever we want to do, to explore, right? To set up STEM programs for our children, to set up empowerment centers around the country that can help us recover and heal from the trauma of American slavery and abuse and segregation and mental torture and trauma that we've been through. We need that, right? And nobody can fight us against that. We need help. We need across the board, we need assistance and support. And if you are in a good place mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, socially, then you can come back and help. You can help contribute financially, mentally, physically, emotionally, set up centers, do whatever you have to do to support the cause. That's the economic piece. We need it. A is athletics, health, wellness, fitness, nutrition. We have to take care of ourselves. We do physically, mentally, emotionally. We have to take care of our physical and mental health and well-being. We have to have a fitness concept that we're working every day, right? We got to look at the diet that we're using, and we have to be able to put ourselves in a position to help make sure that we have healthy nutrition and a system for nutrition that our communities can understand the benefits of health. push away from the table. Get you a good regimen. It's the beginning of the year, so you can work 365 days from now to ensure that the work is being done mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. The C is culture. Again, I'm spelling peace, politics, economics, athletics, which is health, wellness, fitness, and nutrition. Now we come to culture. We need relevant cultural programs like what you're listening to now to help expand our minds, right, to help us reclaim our natural minds, to help us recover from the American system of abuse, right? Well, I'm not pointing fingers, but we have to heal. We do. We need relevant cultural programs to help guide and direct our people back to the middle, back to our rightful place in this society and in the world. Right? We have to get to a place where we understand what it is that we must do as descendants of Africans that came across the shores and began to have an experience here in America. And we want to resurrect our people, help us to gain our minds, our African minds once again. And we're going to do a series that's coming up soon on we're going to talk to Dr. Bruce. And lastly, before I move on to that, we need education. And that's part of the concept here is we have to have a comprehensive education that really speaks to how to develop our people, to develop our minds, to develop a prosperous mentality, right, and to get away from the indoctrination and get into positive, productive states of mind where we can have communities that we develop wherever we are that work toward sustaining our mental, physical, and emotional health. Those are the tenets of the NAAEA. There are no membership fees. All you have to do is join and say, I want to help. Go out to our website, www.naaea.weebly.com, and look at the tenets. Look at the program and the process and see where you can plug in. That is the tenets of the NAAEA. And now for our Stan Macklin moment.
Man, take it away. Stan, the deck is packed today. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah,
I just,
man, we
I
got
love
the deck.
I just love it when you're able to explain the pillars of the National African American Empowerment Association. You know, when we have institutions that define our own reality, quit trying to get in to fit in, this is where it's at, and this is what we're doing.
You do know that we need institutions that define our own reality. We really do. We need schools. We need programs. We need services to help us repair. This repair is healing. That's what we need. We need healing the most. But we need so much more, but we have to do it in a collective fashion. We have to develop a collective consciousness where we begin to work together. But we have to first begin to understand who we are. Stan, tell us who
we must unify. And let's not sabotage ourselves. We should not look as to what we can't do. We can do all things. We can. We can do it. And so we got to quit trying to mimic other races and be who we are, original kings and queens, and make a difference.
I like that.
Right here on Earth.
That's what we have to do. You, if you're listening right now, you have to commit on this first day of 2022 to make a difference wherever you are. That's all I'm asking. In some way, shape, form, or fashion, can you commit to making a change for the African-American cause? See, here's the deal. Every other program and every other culture and every other community has a committed organization that helps them to thrive. Even animals do. Why don't we have organizations established around the country that help us to repair ourselves, to help us heal? Organizations that's going to redefine how we think and how we look at ourselves and begin to create models or concepts that we can begin to think positively, peaceful, and productively. But to be able to eradicate those structures and those systems that's been placed in our minds about who we are, we could do it, y'all. We could do it. And now I'm going over to Brother George for the Kwanzaa and Willie Lynch segments. Brother George, you know I'm going to bring you in right. Here we go, y'all.
Yeah.
Bring it, brother.
Bring it.
right. We're not going nowhere. We're right here now. Brother George, are you there?
Yes, sir. I am here, brother. And
welcome.
Thank you once again for the invitation, and I really appreciate being here.
Thank you, sir. Happy
today,
New Year.
Same for you, brother. Same for you. Prosperous New Year.
Thank
well,
you, sir.
Today is the last day of Kwanzaa, and the principle for today is Imani, faith, to believe with all our heart in our people, our parents, our teachers, our leaders, and the righteousness and victory of our struggle. And I think that that's very appropriate coming into the new year. Okay. Today, with the Willie Lynn segment, I'm going to give some definitions of power, and it's going to come out of a book, The United Independent Compensatory Code System and Concept, a compensatory code, the counter-racist code, a counter-racist code. And this is by Neely Fuller Jr. In this book, he says, there are four basic types of power among the people of the known universe. According to the compensatory counter-racist logic, there is reason to believe that there are four basic types of power among the people of the known universe. All power, which is power exercised by the known and unknown God, the Creator, Allah, Jehovah, Yahweh, the All-Wise, Brahma, the Holy Ghost, etc. Supreme power is white supremacy, power exercised by collective white supremacist races over and against all of the non-white people of the known universe. Inferior power exercised by non-white people who exist in subjugation to the white supremacist races. Immediate power exercised by any person, animal, insect, etc., to directly cause and or effectively threaten to cause the death of and or seriously injure to any person, animal, insect, etc. Now, he goes into an explanation for each one. And I'm going to, you know, it's a little bit of reading, but I really would like for y'all to hear this. All power, the force that is most often referred to as God, the Creator, Allah, etc., and is the greatest force in the known universe. This force is the sum total of all that is known and unknown. Is generally thought to be a power that is greater than all other powers in the universe, in the known universe. Supreme power. The power is second only to all power among the people of the known universe. It is the power exercised by those white people who practice white supremacy racism against all of the people of the known universe who are classified as non-white. Those white people who practice white supremacy racism are not the supreme power in the universe over all things at all times. They do, however, exercise supreme power over the non-white people of the known universe in all things at all times. The ability to cause non-white people to think, speak, and or act according to the will, dictate, and or request of the white supremacist is what makes the white supremacist supreme over the non-white people who submit to and or who cooperate with them in one or more areas of people activities, which are economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war. The power of white supremacy to dominate all non-white people is proof of their superior power. The next power is inferior power. This is the so-called power of non-white person has, a non-white person has, which is truly a lack of power and or the lack of the will and ability to do anything of comparative significance without the direct or indirect force, approval, or voluntary support of the white supremacist race and or of white people in general. Now, this is immediate power, which to me is the most interesting. The power that an individual has to enable him or her to act immediately and effectively without the consent of any other person. Most individuals have this power that they can employ immediately. This power consists of the will plus the means, ability of causing the death of any person, animal, insect, etc. Most people, regardless of their racial classification, are usually able to eliminate, execute, and or cause the death of any animal, plant, insect, and or other person, to eliminate the existence of others for others at will is one of the few powers that an individual person can exercise that can immediately change the current status and or halt the thought, speech, and action of others. Immediate power is the most direct form of power that can be utilized by an individual, since it does not require the permission or cooperation of any other person. Immediate power, like very few other powers, other forms of power, can be used for the purpose that is either just or unjust. Immediate power should never be used for injustice and or incorrect purposes, even if trying to accomplish a just or correct goal. Now, I think that that's his definition of power, and I agree with him. And but the key thing is that I think at this point, as a people, we're caught up between immediate power and inferior power, and that struggle is as we progress along into 2022, that struggle is going to define whether we move forward as a people or if we stay in the same spot. And if you stay in the same spot, you know that the earth is constantly turning, so you're going backwards. All right, so I just wanted to, you know, share those definitions of power and see if we can, you know, try to work towards having that immediate power to affect change, you know, right now for our people. Thank you, Brother Marvin, and I appreciate the time.
All right.
Brother.
Thank you, brother. Before you go, what's one way?
Yes, sir.
Always strategies that we could begin to use this power to move our people forward.
Well, the one way we can use is supporting each other without getting the permission of somebody else, you know, that you want to support another black person's energy, you know, and we need to start doing this. You know, if you want to come up with a concept that we need that can help our children, you know, to feel more prideful about themselves and our people's accomplishments, it's nothing wrong, even though the educational system is going to buck that. We have to begin to define things for ourselves and take that immediate power into our hands and use it.
Does All right. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Right, we got to use our power. Thank you, Brother George.
Again, yes, this sir. Segment. Okay, what's the book again?
It's the United Independent Compensatory Code System and Concept. A compensatory code, a compensatory counter-racist code by Neely Fuller Jr.
All right. Thank you, Brother George. I appreciate you, brother.
Yes, sir.
Again, it's education. We'll come back to you in just a few minutes. Man, listen, y'all. We have to understand the importance of education. You got to know how important education is. Not just school education. You got to understand how important education is for your development. No matter how old you are, we got things that we need to do. It's 2022 now, and we're on the front end of change for our people. Are you willing to commit to change? Opening your heart and your mind to change for who you are, your natural, authentic self, your gifted self. Not the compromised self in the system that tells you you look bad or because you're black or because of your look or your skin color or your texture of your hair. It is the content of your character. Can we develop our people? Can we teach, train, and develop our young people to be proud of who they are? Most confident, chin up, chest out, confident in who they are, that they believe in us and we believe in them. We have to recover our young people. We do. We have to get them to trust us again. We have to get them to believe in us again. We have to get our women to believe in us, men. And men, we have to get our women to believe in us again. We have to coalesce. We have to come together. We have to teach, train, and develop each other. We got to work together. We have to have a collective consciousness. We have to grow together. And all I'm asking you to do is consider these words to say, you will commit to change this year. Nothing wrong with that. Let's define our own power now, because there's power in unity, but there's a power in individual as well. Will you do the work of working on yourself first? Will you do the work of working on what you perceive to be your flaws or the liabilities in your life? Will you do the work of working on yourself first, changing your habits, changing your heart, changing your mind, and changing your ways? It's the first day of a new year, a new start. Can we grow together now? Can we be that beautiful, glaring example of what a positive, productive people can be after coming from all of the trauma and abuse that we've come from? Can we now represent ourselves and our communities and the world can see us for who we really are? The great, great, great people that have come from the ashes and the dust to rise again, to take our rightful place on this planet. And you know why? Because we deserve it. We should do it for our ancestors, and we should do it for ourselves. I'm going to the laws of my yacht, and then I'm coming back with Dr. Bruce. Work on yourselves. It's the best thing that you could do.
The 42 Laws of Maat. I have not committed sin. I have not committed robbery with violence. I have not stolen. I have not slain men or women. I have not stolen food. I have not swindled offerings. I have not stolen from God. I have not told lies. I have not carried away food. I have not cursed. I have not closed my ears to truth. I have not committed adultery. I have not made anyone cry. I have not felt sorrow without reason. I have not assaulted anyone. I am not deceitful. I have not stolen anyone's land. I have not been an eavesdropper. I have not falsely accused anyone. I have not been angry without reason. I have not seduced anyone's wife. I have not polluted myself. I have not terrorized anyone. I have not disobeyed the law. I have not been excessively angry. I have not cursed God. I have not behaved with violence. I have not caused disruption of peace. I have not acted hastily or without thought. I have not overstepped my boundaries of concern. I have not exaggerated my words when speaking. I have not worked evil. I have not used evil thoughts, words, or deeds. I have not polluted the water. I have not spoken angrily or arrogantly. I have not cursed anyone in thought, words, or deeds. I have not placed myself on a pedestal. I have not stolen what belongs to God. I have not stolen from or disrespected the deceased. I have not taken food from a child. I have not acted with insolence. I have not destroyed property belonging to God. The 42 laws of my life.
How about your list of I have nots? Can you just take one of the 42 and begin to work on it? Can you take an opportunity to say, I am going to have not some stuff now. I have not abused my people. I have not disrespected myself or my ancestors or my family. How about that? I have not been abusive verbally. How about that? If we could begin to treat and love each other like that, the world would be a better place wherever we are. Again, we have to do the work of working on ourselves. I'm going to the lines now. I'm going to start with Dr. Bruce today. Dr. Bruce, get ready. I'm going to bring you in. We're going to do a new series, and we're going to talk to Dr. Bruce about what that series is for 2022. Dr. Bruce, I'm coming your way right now. Come on, baby. Out. Come on. Dr. Bruce, are you there?
Yes, sir. I've been listening to it from the very beginning, Brother Marvin.
All right. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. Happy New Year. How are you?
All right. Thank you, Brother Marvin. I'm trying to hear you. Okay. Yeah, you're clear. Now I heard the music in the background. I couldn't hardly hear you, and I want to hear you, too.
All right.
Yeah, everything's
all
fine.
Right.
Habarigani to your audience, to those who are tuned in today. Habarigani to them. And hope that things will go good for them in this new procession of our lives.
All right. So we talked, and we want to do a new segment. So I wanted to kind of build up the segment that we're going to do with you. We're going to start with the natural creation. So can you tell us a bit about, one, your book, about you, and then about this new series that we're going to do once a month as we go into the new year?
Yes, we talked about it on yesterday. We'll be doing at least once a month and see how that goes. But we're going to start off with this new series that we'll be calling Recapturing the African Mind series on your program, Brother Marvin. And I think we'll be starting when? Next Saturday, is that correct?
Next Saturday, that's right.
At 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock every once a month, and we'll work it out. Every once a month, starting next Saturday, we're going to do a series with you. We're going to do a workshop, right? You're going to talk about your book and then all some other things. So just tell the people a little bit about you and about your book and what they can look forward to.
Yeah. And I want to thank all the people who I called and texted and emailed about listening to the program today. I hope they're still on. But I let quite a few people
on the line.
Okay, that's good. Okay,
yeah,
you're good.
The deck is packed.
Okay, good, because maybe you will get a chance to hear from them a little bit. But what I was going to do next week, I'm going to just a little bit about myself. I'm from Durham, North Carolina. Just one of the regular brothers from the hood. Have taught at several universities. Most recently, I taught at a small theological seminary in Durham, North Carolina, called the Apex School of Theology. But I've also taught at North Carolina Central University. I've also taught at St. Augustine's College in Raleigh, North Carolina, and have spoken in just about all of the 50 states in the United States, just about, and also I've lectured in Africa, down in Zimbabwe, met Robert Mugabe many years ago, and that's just a little bit about me. I also have spoken down in the Caribbean, so that's just a little bit of information about me, and I also, in Durham, North Carolina, if people have not forgotten, I opened the first African-American bookstore in the history of Durham, North Carolina, though I found that many people want to forget about it, and that's just a little bit of my history, and also hosted two radio talk programs in Durham, North Carolina, one called the Cultural Awareness Seminar, and we affectionately called it your radio classroom, and I also hosted another radio talk show called Talk Harambe in Durham, North Carolina for several years. So that's just a little bit about me and my sojourn here in the hills of North America, predominantly in Durham, North Carolina. And what we want to do, I believe, Brother Marvin, is to start this series off called Recapturing the African Mind. And
that's
in
right.
that particular series, I'm going to be reviewing my book. And every time I'm on, and right now we're talking about once a month, unless we extend it to maybe twice a month, but every time I'm on, I'll be dealing with different portions of my book from the very beginning to end. And the first chapter that I will be discussing in the book and the first part of the series, which is next Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock, will be called Human Beings' First Study from the Natural Creation. That's the topic of next week's lecture, Human Beings' First Study from the Natural Creation. And we'll be talking about the origins of science, technology, engineering, mathematics, talk about how the ancient Africans of the Nile Valley sent several colonies around the world and set up civilizations as far as this whole 196,940,000 square miles of earth is. African people, natives of Ethiopia and southern Africa called the Twa people, settled all over the world and are the roots of all civilizations and societies in on this planet. So that's the way we're going to be starting on next week. And to those people who might want to start by maybe getting my book and reading so they can be a part of the discussion, and hopefully, I guess we'll probably be having pretty much the whole hour next week, I believe, and
yes,
hopefully
sir.
Because we have a okay good. And our first chapter, as I said, will be the African Mind and the Natural Creation. I'm going to be discussing the natural world, its study and application, comedic origins of Greek intellectual development, mythology, religion, and the natural creation, George Washington Carver as a student of the natural creation, and then I'll be discussing early Western education and the kindergarten system in America. And that's the way we're going to be starting. And to those people who might want to order a copy of my book so that they can have it and start reading and be with us once a month when we start the series, they can just give me a call at area code 919-956-5972. Again, area code 919-956-5972. And if you don't get an answer, leave a message and I'll get back in touch with you and let you know how you can order a copy of my book so that you can be prepared for this class we're going to be doing, Brother Marvin. So that's basically what it is, and I tried to just make it quite succinct in case you want to go to your phone lines and hear from some of our people.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Bruce. And hang on, because I'm going to come back to you in just a few.
Okay, I'm here.
So, all right, I'm going to keep you on the line. So we're going to turn the show into a classroom, right? Because, again, when we look at the tenets and go down to the second E is education. The more, knowledge is power. The more we know, the more we understand, the more we can improve ourselves. And it's brothers like Dr. Bruce, right, who's done the training. We have a great right at our fingertips. This is a bad brother, right, in a good way. And he is going to bring knowledge. He's a heavy hitter.
He's right here with us, and he'll be with us once a month, maybe twice a month, if y'all really are interested. But we're going to teach, train, and develop our people to become the best that we can be. Tell a friend about the show and about the series, because we're coming hard in 2022, and Dr. Bruce has gotten on board to say he's going to do a online or on phone or on this program lecture for us to educate and train our people and our history and our culture to develop us. And that's nothing at all wrong with that. Dr. Bruce, we're going to the lines now. Hang on with me. I'm going to keep you right here. All right, I'm going on over to 6306 first, and then I'm going right down the deck. 6306 coming at you. We're live. We right here, 6306. We're reclaiming our natural African minds. What you got for me today? It's the People Show.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Thank
happy
you so
New
much.
Year,
and I'm looking
sister.
Forward to the new series that's coming up.
All right. I like that. What you got for me today?
I don't have too much for you today. I'm just processing it all. 2021 was a another challenging year, so I'm thankful for the fresh start and ready to get rolling.
All right. I like that. And again, Happy New Year. Thank you for tuning in. Tell a friend and continue to join us as we continue to empower our people, but most importantly, to reclaim our mind. Thank you for your support. I really appreciate you.
Thank you.
I like this show. Dr. Bruce, you hear that?
Yes, I did, uh-huh. And I'd like to hear more. I'd like that. That's good. She'll be
right.
One of our students in the classroom. That'll be good.
All right. Do you have any questions for Dr. Bruce before I get to the next person?
No, I don't have any questions right now.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I'm going on over to 7103 coming to you right now. Thank you, sister. Oh, yeah. Welcome to the show.
Right.
How are you?
Yes, sir. I'm doing fine. And yourself?
I'm doing really good. It's a new year, and we're trying to reclaim. We're going to reclaim our African minds, and we're going to educate, train, teach, and develop ourselves to become the best that we can be.
Definitely, definitely.
Today?
Well, all right. Well, this is Brother Cimarron out of Durham, North Carolina, and I can say that I served as a student of Brother Bruce, and I don't mean it in the context of being behind an actual desk in the classroom, but I attended St. Augustine's College. At that time when I came down to Durham, North Carolina, Brother Bruce had, I want to say, three bookstores, which were strategically placed in the state of North Carolina. So not only did he have a bookstore on Fayetteville Street, but it was right across from North Carolina Central University. He also had
right.
a bookstore in Greensboro, right across from North Carolina A&T. And I know there was one other location that Brother Bruce had, in Charlotte, North Carolina, on Bates Ford Road, which was right down the street from Johnson C. Smith. And so with the course, I would love for Brother Bruce to explain how he strategically planted those institutions in our community and how we could begin to do those things again. So you have someone with you who is more than just an instructor, but also a nation builder as well.
All right.
Thank you for the
comment. All right, Dr. Bruce. Yes. Go ahead.
Yes, yes. First of all, I want to thank my brother, Brother Marvin. That's Brother Cimarron from Durham, North Carolina. Cimarron, of course, the Cimarroons, the runaway slave. Yeah. So I really appreciate that, Brother Cimarron, and I appreciate those accolades because I really have forgotten that one time I was operating three bookstores in the state of North Carolina. And like I said
wow.
before, a lot of people do not know that, and I had really kind of forgotten it myself until you brought it up. But that's one thing I believe in. If we're going to be teachers, instructors, and educating our people, but at the same time, there must be some activism involved. And that's one thing that Marcus Garvey did. Marcus Garvey, when you read and study his lectures, he taught, he lectured, he preached, and but at the same time, he put things into action. He didn't just keep it in the classroom, but he put it in the streets for the people to see. And that's another thing, too, that Brother Malcolm did under Elijah Muhammad. All praise is due to Elijah Muhammad, but the Nation of Islam started to grow when Malcolm X became a member of the Nation of Islam, and he was an activist. He started to found a Call newspaper, even though he taught at the mosque on Sundays and Wednesday night, and he traveled around the country representing Elijah Muhammad, but he also started the Final Call, and wherever he went, he started temples. I started bookstores. He started temples.
All right.
And temples, you see, so this is what we have to do as a people, which is a problem I've always had with many of our professors on college campuses. They are there from 9 to 10 for a class, or 11 to 1 for a class, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, whatever the case may be. But that's as far as it goes, and they prepare for the class. And they're really, it's not really a part of them, but they go out of a regiment or out of just something to do and give the information, but they don't put it to work, and students can't see the relevance of it. So education then has to be made relevant. And when you look at the meaning of the word education, before I let you go to another line, you see the word education comes from the word educere. E means out of, and that word part, D-U-C-A, duca or ducere, means to lead. You find that word part in the word duck, conduct. And what does a duck do? A duck leads air from one place to another place. When you conduct, when I introduce you, I'm leading you into the knowledge of me and me into the knowledge of you. So educere means to lead out. So through education, we must lead people out of just talking and theorizing and to do something, you see. So that's what education is about. I let you go to another caller, brother.
All right. Thank you, doctor. Great work. And thank you for calling, brother. I appreciate you. And before you go,
and brother Simran, we'll probably introduce your program to brother Marvin to a lot of people, because he has a big mailing email list, and he'll probably have a lot of people on next week. So just letting you know.
Okay. All right. So thank you. Is it brother Simran? Simeon.
Yeah, it's Cimarron, but everyone just knows me as
like
Cimarron.
That.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, brother. I really appreciate you. Thank you for your call. Notice
yes, sir.
People. Oh, sorry about that. Let me get you back. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir.
Brother Cimarron.
No, I was just saying. Yes, sir. I was just saying. I'm glad that you have Brother Bruce on, because not only do you have, a scholar, and I think that I hope that, most of the listening audience does not just take or accept him as just being a scholar, but he was also someone of great significance to us because he also developed, from an economical standpoint. One of the things that I guess I forgot to include, too, is that he had a copy center, which instead of going to Kinko's at that time, of course, it's FedEx now, but the students were able to go and make copies and things of that magnitude. He also had the restaurant. So you really have a powerhouse on your program, and I would hope that those who are in the listening audience would pick Brother Bruce's mind in terms of how we redevelop those institutions within our community. I mean, I met Steve Coakley, Dell Jones, Ashraf Kwesi, Jaleel Alameen. The list goes on in terms of Pam Africa, all of these various people who have come through his institution. So, again, I can't say more than enough. You definitely have a powerhouse, on your program.
All right. Thank you, sir, and thank you for the information. I appreciate you, brother. Stay
yes,
with
sir.
Us.
Definitely.
Man,
will do.
Y'all see? This is what I'm talking about, right? We see, this is a people show. This is regular people, regular brothers and sisters bringing it all the way down to the ground. See, typically you don't get our intellectuals and our elite, educated elite, which W.E.B. Du Bois called a talented tenth, to come down with the people. See, there was a fraction or friction between Booker T. Washington and Du Bois because they had different philosophies. But when you bring philosophies together and when you bring education to the people begin to grow. Dr. Bruce, are you there? And last thing, you notice Dr. Bruce is not tooting his horn. That's somebody else. That's somebody else. All right, Dr. Bruce, are you there?
I'm here, waiting to hear from some other callers,
right,
my brother.
All right, we're going back to the line. All right, I'm not even going to do the intro music. I'm going over to 0740. I'm calling the last four of your number, 0740. Coming up on you right now. You're live on the Empowerment Hour with Dr. Bruce and Marvin Rome. Are you there?
Yes, sir. Brother Marvin.
Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm great, and I'm glad to hear that you are the same. I'm not loquacious and never have been or never will be. I'm turning to the first page of the book, Recapturing the African Mind. The first page in the handwriting of Dr. Bridges reads as follows, 3/10/09. To my good friend and brother Carlton, always seek knowledge, Bruce Bridges. That's it.
All right. That's
always
it. Thank you, brother.
Knowledge. Thank you.
Always seek knowledge. I like that. All right. If you want to get the book, 919-956-5972. Thank you, sir, for calling. Dr. Bruce.
Calling in, too, and that's why I always autograph my books. I put my name, but I also say, always seek knowledge. Boom.
So, all right. So can you break that down for us a little bit in terms of what you mean by always seek knowledge for our listeners?
Yes. Several scholars have always said that knowledge is the key, and the Prophet Muhammad made the statement, seek knowledge to the cradle, from the cradle to the grave, and also the scriptures of the Bible and other religious texts around the world, the Siddhartha Buddha, the founder of Buddhism and Hinduism and other religions around the world, Confucianism, Lao Tzu in China. He spoke about it. So everyone has always understood that knowledge is the key. And just to give you an example, I get a great deal of information across my phone, as most of your listeners probably do, from a lot of our entertainers, and I mentioned Donna Ross's daughter. People who are tuned in and know me probably have heard me say this before. But every time she comes across my phone in a news item, and not just her but other people too, other entertainers too, it's always about the exercises they're doing, the clothes they're wearing, the abs that they have, or a trip that they're taking, but nothing of knowledge, nothing of any significance. And I'm just the kind of person who would always like for people, especially when you have the spotlight, like our athletes and our entertainers, our singers, our dancers, our thespian, I would always like for them to illuminate knowledge to the people and not just something on the physical level. But most times, if you notice, they don't do that. Charles Barkley, I give LeBron James some credit, but for the most part, they have nothing to say, and that's really quite deficient as for us as a people. We need some nutrients. We don't need any deficiencies. We need some nutrients. We need some vitamin K, NOWLED. We need some vitamin K, and that vitamin K would uplift us as a people. So knowledge, We need knowledge. Vitamin K, that's a good one. Okay, brother.
All right.
Like I said, I always
All
like
right.
hear from our callers because they'll be hearing enough of me in a few weeks, I guess.
All right. All right. We're going to get some more vitamin K. Again, we got Dr. Bruce Bridges on the line, and we're talking about recapturing the African mind. And we're going to start the series next week. Again, if you want to get the book ahead of time, 919-956-5972. I'm going back to the lines, 4756. I'm calling the last four of your number, 4756. You're live on the Empowerment Hour. Margaret Roman, Dr. Bruce Bridges.
Well, happy new year to you, Brother Marv, and Dr. Bruce Bridges. This Brother Warren out of New Orleans. And have been enjoying the show. And I like the I like the topic, Reclaiming the African Mind. And what I like to see happen this year, Dr. Bruce, and I really apologize. I'm one of those old school cats who followed Claude Ben, Van Sertima, Rashidi. I knew them all. And I just have not come across you out of North Carolina. And I'm so glad to have discovered you today. And I will be following your work and contacting you to order your book. One of the things that's been bothering me, you know, when the pandemic set in, we all had to stay home. And so I discovered on YouTube a lot of these YouTube channels with a lot of these young people. When I say young people, in their 20s, 30s, and maybe 40s. And a lot of them have programs about Africa, and then some of them have programs that speak against Africa. So Reclaiming the African Mind, I have problems with three strands of movements going on. Number one, the ADOS FBA people. These are people who speak against black immigrants, they speak against continental Africans, they speak against blacks in the Caribbean, and they distance themselves from an African ancestry. Then there are those who claim that they are native here. They don't have nothing to do with Africa. They talk about Africa. And I've been asking my friends, we say, what in the hell has happened over the last 10 or 15 years? Because I went to sleep
we
over the week.
We have lost our minds.
We've lost our minds. And what was clear now for me is what this social media does, it fosters conflict, it fosters a Jerry Springer type way of communicating. And many of our young people who think that they're conscious have been socialized through this technology. So when they try to discuss something that's a serious topic, what they do is they argue, they, you know, it's just a whole hot mess. They call it ham, a hot-ass mess. And so, but the attack on Africa, and they don't reference no scholars, they don't pay homage to the elders, they act like they creating, even the ones who promote Africa, right, on the YouTube channel, I'm not going to call nobody's names, they're prostituting Africa. They are hustling Africa. And then they use words like racism, white supremacy, which was popularized by Francis Cress Ross and Emile Fuller, and they don't give them any kind of homage or respect. You know, and so I'm tired of this. We got to declare a type of war on this foolishness because it is the next generation. You know what social media has done? It has fostered illiteracy in our community.
That's right.
They don't read books. They go on YouTube and they watch a video of somebody saying something and they know everything. In my day and in your day, Dr. Bruce, we passed books around. We went to bookstores, spent hundreds of dollars a week on books. I'm finished.
Brother Warren. Thank you.
All right, brother
Warren.
And
I appreciate you calling.
I hope you took the number so you can order a copy of my book, Brother Warren.
I got your number, sir.
Okay, good.
All right.
And I'm moving real fast, Brother Marvin, because I know our time is running out. But that brother reminded me of a sister I was talking to today, and she was telling me that her son said that young people are not reading books today. They're going, Brother Warren said, on YouTube, and that's about all that they have. And I can understand that, but if they're going to use that social media, you can go on YouTube, though, and find lecturers who quote books and who oftentimes you can't even see, but they'll have the pages of books and of old primary sources of research that can be gotten if they know how to use it. So YouTube is not completely bad, but I know what he said. He's absolutely right. I agree with him. But just briefly, right beside me right now as we speak, talking about books, knowledge is power. The only thing that can combat what he just said, he says we need to declare war, and we're declaring war on ignorance now by starting this program on your show next week. Right beside me, I have a book called Black Folk Here and There by St. Clair Drake. Another one here, that's part one and part two. Another one called The Negro Rulers of Scotland and Ireland. Another one called The Book of Beginnings. Another one called Prehistoric Nations. So the knowledge is out there, but they have not researched and done it, and they're making stupid statements that cannot be substantiated. But if you have knowledge, you can smack it out. And I think it's somebody, I don't know if it's the Quran or what, but somebody said that knowledge knocks the hell out of falsehood. So let's take another call, brother.
All right, we got about 3 minutes, so I'm gonna get to this last call. I'm sorry if I can't get to you.
That's a shame. That's a shame, brother. We got
Come back next week. The line is packed. All right, 9116. 9116. You online with Dr. Bruce Bridges and Marvin Rome. What you got for me?
I just want to touch on how I always say leaders have to lead. First, Happy New Year. Talk fast. Deion Sanders. He went into a subculture, which is an institution. They push these subcultures. He went into a D1 school, but now he is pushing HBCUs. He took his D1 athlete of a son, which was supposed to go D1, and made this young man, he didn't make him, he was contemplating to go HBC. And what this is doing, this is actually curving a whole subculture, and if you look at it from a chessboard standpoint, the higher-ups are so upset now they're starting to pay athletes for their likeness or whatever the case may be to kind of curb this HBC thing, right? So this is why I say leaders have to lead on a big level. Don't become outdated and look at the young kids as if they should do things. The old is always going to evolve. It's always going to find a neutral ground. And we can do it. You know, Deion is on us. Yes, somebody was trying to say something.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I was about to. I didn't know if I could come in or not, Brother Marvin.
Dr. Bruce, yes, sir.
Yeah, come right on in. Thank you, brother.
We got
2 minutes left.
Okay, I was about to say, I'm glad he mentioned that, Deion Sanders, because I was so glad to see that. And I read about it, and because I read a lot of things, because you never know when you're going to be in the public eye or when you're going to have to discuss something. But when Deion Sanders, when Florida State University became upset with Deion Sanders for taking one of the top football recruits in this country, Deion Sanders made the statement, and I like it, he does not belong to you. You know, they think that we belong to them. That's a good example of modern day slavery. But Deion Sanders said he does not belong to you, and they liked Deion Sanders as long as he was when he was playing football himself, sending athletes to his alma mater. But when he started coaching at Jackson State, he's recruiting the top athletes for Jackson State. And I also notice a trend in many black athletes are beginning to go back to historically black colleges and universities, which they should do. The story has always been that you won't be discovered. But I always use example, if John Wooden, who's the coach of UCLA when Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was there, when John Wooden left California and came all the way to a little town in North Carolina called Franklinton, North Carolina, to find Henry Bibby and get him at UCLA, then they will find you no matter where you are. If they can find Earl the Pearl Monroe at Little Winston-Salem State University, they will find you. It's all about money and talent. White people have always wanted to use our talent, so I stand up with
All
Dion.
Right, Dr. Bruce, I got to cut you right there. I got to cut you right there. Let's come back next
brother,
week, though.
I get excited.
11:65, I see you, but we're going to have to talk to you next week. So join us next week, Dr. Bruce, to do his first lecture. Thank you, Dr. Bruce. We'll talk to you all next week.
What's my number one more time for them to get the book?
It's 919-956-5972. Peace and blessings, y'all. Have a great week.